Yeah, she is. Well, I'm going to open up with prayer. I think his prayers were great. It's more for me, for just, you know, it's spiritual warfare when you preach. You know, you hear all this stuff out there, ooh, spiritual warfare, demons behind every bush, anoint your windows and your car and all this. But when you're preaching truth based on the Word of God, rightly divided, that's spiritual warfare. And so that's why I always keep the pastor in so much prayer. You know, leaders get attacked. And so I hopefully you'll keep, as you're listening today, keep a prayerful attitude. And I appreciate your prayers. And my wife's going to come up now. Yeah.
Did you put a mic right?
There we go. Thank you.
Okay.
Did you want a chair? I'm short. I can do that. Wait, I'm the same way back there.
Hello, everybody.
Let me see. What can wash away?
What can wash away my sin?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Not but the blood. What can make me whole again?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other font I know.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
For my pardon this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other font I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other font I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other font I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God.
She's very liberal. She kisses the preacher. We're married, for anybody that don't know. Praise God. You know what I love about grace? You can be yourself. You don't got to try and be like the pastor, the Bible teacher, everybody dressed the same. You know, you can be yourself. And God uses the weak things of this world, right? So I love in churches when the kids are up here and the little girl starts picking her nose and the mother's going, no, you know, and things go wrong or you kind of mess up, but God uses us. We ain't got to be perfect. We're perfect in Christ, where you can just be yourself, rest, from you trying to perform, and just it's all about grace. So, speaking of that, guess what the name of my message is? What is grace? Now, I think we started a little bit late, so I might take a couple minutes later, but we're Pauline, right? We follow the pattern of Paul. Remember when Paul preached so long the guy fell out the second floor story? Well, for Pauline, I'm not going to preach that long. He'd never have me back. It's kind of funny, at the conference, we played pool, and I said, I'll play for the church. And he wouldn't, so I think he felt bad. He beat me. Humbled me, so he let me preach one week anyway. I feel like a pit bull being ready to be unleashed, where Paul talks about we take every thought captive, every high thing that stands against the knowledge of God. And that's what I feel like. I'm praying today that in one message, you're not going to get everything. But my old pastor, Kirkwood, used to say, you ain't grasp grace till it's grasped you. If it's not your head, it's got to get in your head, and it's got to get a hold of your heart. That's grace. And so we can never learn enough about grace. So the name of my message is, what is grace? So real quickly, because I don't want to take a lot of time, I want you to just give me a real quick definition of your understanding of grace. Anybody?
Don't laugh. Riches
that Christ expects. I had that acronym in? Okay.
Unmerited favor.
Unmerited favor. All right. And actually, grace in the dictionary says favor. We find out through Paul in the dispensation of grace it's unmerited. But what's favor? Do me a favor? Because I did you a favor. You know what I mean? Sometime we got to really get a hold on grace. Anybody else? What is grace?
Something given that you don't deserve.
Something given you don't deserve. Very good. Very good, good. So, I think for eternity we're going to learn about God's grace. So that's my message today. Grace is what changed my life. It's the only reason I know I could be up here, only by His grace. So, the definition of grace is favor. And then we find out again, through Paul's epistles, it's unmerited favor. And I had my acronym that the pastor stole, God's riches at Christ's expense. You know, they talk about cheap grace. It's free to us. But it costs Christ everything. It costs Him His blood, His life, pain. So it ain't cheap. And if anyone thinks that, they don't understand grace. So it's good I'm preaching on it, because maybe there's someone through the internet or even someone here. I don't know everybody's heart. We can all learn about grace more. Maybe somebody will start getting a hold on grace. Because a lot of times, I've heard it said, you understand in a fragmented way sometime. You might understand righteousness in Christ, you're justified in Christ. Then complete forgiveness. Then law and grace, there's a difference. Then the big difference, prophecy and the mystery. God's got two programs, one for Israel, the one the body of Christ. And then, knowing where our instructions are in Paul's epistles, but it's taking it and applying it and grasping it. It takes the Holy Spirit to really turn the light on in our minds. And so, here's what I had some things written down. Grace is an extension, an expression of God's unconditional love. He loves you unconditionally. You mess up this week, feeling a little bit guilty, thinking God's sort of disgusted with you. He loves you unconditionally. He still sees you in Christ. That's why when a guy was stealing, what did Paul say? He didn't say, oh, confess it, do contrition, do some penance. He just said, quit doing it. Why? I forget the past, you know, and you go towards the goal. God still loves you unconditionally. That's freeing. Religion makes you perform. You know, I've heard, Pastor, you say that it's a bondage. It's chains. I got to perform to make God accept me. Sometimes we know, in a small way, God loves us, but do you know He accepts you in His Son? We don't have to perform, but what happens is we're saved by grace through faith, not by works, right? But God had a purpose. We're saved on the good works. You can't get saved by good works. You don't stay saved by good works. But God wants to, it's the Holy Spirit working in you, Christ in you, through you, and out of you. God produces it. There's the joy. See, Christianity, so many times I'll believe people, unbelievers are hearing, oh, we don't do this, we don't do that, we don't believe in abortion, and a believer shouldn't. Because what gives human life dignity, we're created in the image of God. Oh, we don't do that, we protest this. You know, the moral majority kind of thing. And you got to wonder sometime if they're thinking, what do you believe? What do you do? Well, if you understand grace, I live spiritually. I have joy. I have peace when I'm walking in the Spirit, when I'm focused and dependent. You know, I have a spiritual life. I love. That's the fruit of the Spirit, and everything else I think comes out of love. So grace is an extension and expression of God's unconditional love. It's the expression of the character of God's heart. God is love, 1 John 4:8. Yet, God is also holy, just, and righteous. His holiness and justice and righteousness, His love and grace are all revealed at the cross and burst forth, revealing the heart and the character of God, the cross. If you're ever wondering, God loves you, going through stuff, God knows, me and Mary Ben for the last couple of years still are. But when I'm focused on God, and when you're wondering, God, do you really love me? You think of the cross. Don't look at the circumstances. We live in a fallen world. Stuff happens. So, what we're going to do in the beginning here, we're going to look at some glimpses of grace. Because there's only one dispensation of grace. I don't know if it was Pastor Stam over here said there's only one dispensation of grace, but there's grace in other dispensations. God's always, His heart is grace. And He's showed us, He gives us glimpses and hints. Let's go to Genesis 3:20. We look at Adam and Eve. You know the story because of time. I'm not going to get into it. But God gave Adam, He breathed the life, the breath of life in Adam, right? And Adam became a living being. That's what made Adam in God's image. God in the man, the Holy Spirit expressing Himself out. But God gave him what? One test of His dependence and trust. Don't eat from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. Well, when Adam believed the lie, Satan still got the lie, you know, that in Christ, you don't need Christ. You don't need God. Be your own man. Well, look at the world. Look at the stuff happening. That my wife was talking about, the lady who killed her daughter. Heroin's back now. It was real popular when I was younger. People shooting up, going stealing, murdering, killing. That's I'll be my own man. Man without God. And so, the moment Adam rebelled, took his dependence off from God, God said, in that day, if you eat that fruit, die, you shall surely die. And in Hebrew, it's a double death. Dying, you shall die. He didn't die physically. I went over this before, but it's good to refresh our memories. Repetition is the best way to learn. How did he die? Spiritually, the Holy Spirit left him. Now he's got a human spirit, empty. He has a human spirit. What's death? The absence of life. The life of God, the Holy Spirit left him. Now, he not only lost something, he gained something. Conscience and a sinful nature. And that's what rules over fallen man. And that's where Satan uses it. My old pastor used to say, you won't have a problem with Satan if you ain't got a problem with the flesh, because he works through the flesh. So if you apply Romans chapter 6, the mechanics of the Christian life, you won't have a problem with your flesh. Because its power's been broke. We're freed. That's what we can do. We can be free. Free to what? Go do whatever I want to do? In a way, yeah. Because I want to serve God. And it frees you to serve God. And so, Adam rebelled. He kind of stuck his hand in God's face. I don't need you. I'll be my own God. Took his dependence off of God, got on himself, and guess who was controlling him now? He wasn't, not only thought he was going to be free, I'll be like God. I'll know good and evil. Right? Now he's controlled through Satan, through the flesh. His flesh controls him. He's not free. People are like, oh, you know, I'll go to church later and I'll serve God after I'm out there. I want to be free for a while. You ain't free. You're being controlled. Look at Hollywood. We think, oh, my stepson says, Oh, it'd be great to be rich, wouldn't it? I said, I don't know. Look at Hollywood. You know, really messed up. Anyway, Adam rebelled. He was a whole human race. And then it says, to one man sin came, and then death to sin. Death spread to all men. So we're born with that sinful nature. So it don't matter if you become religious, you go to theology school, you become very moral, you're good, a good neighbor, a good mom, you're spiritually dead. And what's a dead man need? Life. That's what the cross dealt with, forgiveness, so God could do his justice. Now, where it had to condemn you before, now he could declare you righteous. Now God can give you eternal life. Christ comes in and dwells you by his Holy Spirit. What Adam lost, we receive. But we got a better deal. We can't lose it. Praise God. We have, it's called probation, right?
Salvation.
It's called eternal life, not probation. And you know what? We can waste it. See, with grace, there's a danger. But God, he allows that. Because without grace, we couldn't serve him voluntarily. But there's a danger. We could waste our lives. That's one of my biggest fears, and I sometimes get so convicted. What do I do with my time? Am I wasting it? We only got so much time here, and we don't know if we got tomorrow, right? Am I serving God? Things that count for eternity, you know? We need to live in the present, but live with the eternal perspective. Every day, the only thing that's going to count. My niece just graduated from college, and I told her, just offer yourself in the professional area for God to use, because in eternity, that's what's going to count. She can't take her degrees with her, you know? So we look at Adam. He rebelled God's beautiful creation. The one who was, he was going to be like his temple, who he could express himself out of. And he rebelled, right? Man was ruined. What would you have did? If you created some and it just went amok. You're good with the computers, right? Stuff. You created this program and it was supposed to do all this, and all of a sudden just, well, you know what? Quack. I'm just going to start another one, you know. But look in Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. Look what God did. This is the heart of God to a rebel. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of the living. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made them tunics of skin and clothed them. It's a picture of Christ's righteousness. See, they tried to cover themselves up with fig leaves. That's religion. I try and cover up my nakedness, my sinfulness. That's religion. So I can try and look good. But see, what do fig leaves do? They start crumbling. They're dry. They're not very good covering. God would not accept it. He wouldn't accept Cain's offering. It had to be blood. And it's all a picture of Christ. See, in God's heart, how do you think he forgave the saints in the Old Testament? He knew what his son was going to do. They were saved on a credit card system. They got it then, but it was paid for later. We're saved up front. He paid for it. It's all paid for. Every sin you'll ever do is paid for. Make you want to go sin? Not me. Makes you want to serve this wonderful God. He's so good to us. You know? And so, we see how grace to Adam. If he didn't give grace to Adam, we wouldn't even be here. And then, Genesis 6, 5 to 8. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's what mankind became. That sinful nature, when it's in control. Listen to this. This is one of the most saddest, I think, verses in the Bible. Another one is the shortest verse in the Bible. I think it says, Christ wept. God's heart over Israel. Stiff-necked people. But, you know, we look at that. Oh, how could they do that? Oh, we got our stiff necks. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth. And he was grieved in his heart. See, God has a heart. He loves And just like you, when you love someone so much and they hurt you, it hurts, right? You ever been hurt by your best friend? Husband, wife? Ooh, that's the one to go for if you're married, right? Sometimes you say things, and the one that you love the most can hurt you the most, right? Well, God and the Holy Spirit can be grieved. And you know, I think what grieves them, because people sometimes, oh, if you're out there doing this, grieving the Holy Spirit, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know what grieves them? When we're not loving. Because when we're not loving, that's when we're falling into sin. Self. Focus on me instead of out of me. Have you ever noticed the happiest time I know me? When I'm not focused on me, I'm focused on others. I'm happy then. You know, the world says, get all you can get. What about, it's empty. Now, because, you know what? It promised you all this, money, fame, whatever. And then you get it, and they're empty. That's why they become alcoholics, drug addicts. They got it. See, when you're still hoping for it, I'll be happy then, there's still hope. But now you got it. It's like, what's it all about? And sometimes they kill themselves. We're rich in Christ. That's why I try and keep in my mind. Me and Mary's poor right now, financially. But when I think of Christ, the riches, we got to keep focus. And that's for eternity. All the money in the world you can't take with you. And so, the Lord said in verse 7, first he was grieved, he was hurt. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Both man and beast, creeping things, and birds of the air, for I'm sorry that I made them. God was angry too. He was hurt, and he was angry. But look at this. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know? God shows grace, because he could have just destroyed everything, right? God shows grace. There's a glimpse of his grace, his heart. Then let's go to Psalms. You know what? For time, go to Romans 4, 6 through 8. We're going to look at David. Do you know David? The sin he did? Having Bathsheba's husband killed? Committing adultery with her? Do you know there wasn't a sacrifice for that? So David saw God's heart of grace. Romans 4, 6 to 8. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Before the cross they were covered, now they're taken away. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. David didn't have a plea with God. Under law, he should have been dead. What'd God do? He gives him a glimpse of his heart. Even in the Old Testament, the things written beforehand were what? For our learning, for our comfort. You see, God more in the Old Testament, I think, reveals his mercy. In the dispensation of grace, I think His grace and unconditional love is magnified. And he reveals his righteousness a lot in the Old Testament, his holiness, his anger against sin. But then he reveals that here too. God still don't like sin. The only thing is, he's not going to punish you. He punished Christ. But he wants us to learn something, to trust him, to take his word, and by faith and dependence, apply it. And you'll find, not that your life's easy, your life is fulfilling. It means something. So let's look at, we'll go to the Gospels. John 14, 8 through 10. We have Philip here asking him to show us the Father. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. I didn't plan on this, but you ever been like that? God, if you'll just give me a sign, I'll know. Be sufficient. Yeah. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, And yet you have not known me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. See, Christ presented his humanity to the Father. He was God, God the Son, but he didn't live like God when he came here. He could have stayed in heaven for that. But he was showing us something, even in the Gospels. It's under law, but there's things that are transdispensational. They're the same in every dispensation. God's righteousness, God's love. Christ presented his humanity, and the Father, he said what? I can't do anything. Only what the Father does through me. So the Father, through him, expressed the self out of him. So if you want to know what God's like, well, who do you look at? Christ. And then, Christ, through Paul, expresses his self through Paul. And when you start growing in grace, Christ in you expresses himself out of you, reaching out to other people, even in the body. We learn from each other, right? I was telling Dave, I'd like to kind of give him applause, but he can be a little shy. But appreciate the time he puts in, I told him earlier, and that he's available to God. Because it's not just time you put in. You've got to be dependent when you're studying, that the Holy Spirit open up your understanding. And it's work. You know, I started preparing, and all of a sudden, it's hard. And I think it's like spiritual warfare almost, because you're preparing to equip God's people, to edify them. Well, Satan don't want that, especially if you're rightly dividing the word. You're teaching grace. Satan don't like that. So you would think you could just go to there and boom, boom, boom. You know, sometimes I'm struggling. I'm like, I can't get there, you know, and I'm praying, and you know, it's work. So appreciate the time, the pastor, Dave, anyone who is in ministry even here. You know, that just makes us available to God. And so we see, go to John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. All right, what was Christ full of? Amen. Come on, I come from a Pentecostal background. Give me some amens. I appreciate that. That means I know everybody don't got their eyes open but sleeping. You know, laid their brains down when they came in. Just keep their smile on their face. So, remember Christ said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What's the Father's heart then? Grace and truth. And then in verse 18. No one has seen the God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He's declared Him. The idea manifested Him. Like when my wife does portraits and things, you know, and when there's this fantastic, like a Renoir, say, right, and they cover it up, and everybody's sitting out there on the edge of their seat. Be funny if I just fall off, huh? Thing on the edge of their seat, they can't wait, and all of a sudden, lifted it up, manifested. That's Christ revealing God to us. You got to know what Christ is like if you want to know God. There's one mediator between man and God, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So, Christ reveals the Father's mind, heart, and love. Another one, remember the two thieves on the cross? The one trusted in Christ. Now he was making fun of him first, wasn't he? Talking jive. He's frustrated. He's on a cross. I wouldn't be happy. I'd probably be frustrated. I got caught. See, that's a difference. Sometimes true repentance means mind change. You know, everybody say, "Gotta repent, gotta repent." Mind change. That's what the Greek word means. And I would be pretty frustrated. I'm sure he was mad he got caught and he got on that cross. But there was a real mind change then. He realized Christ is innocent. And Christ said, what? Today you'll be with me in paradise. He said, remember me, right? Today you'll be with me in paradise, when he asked him that. He showed him grace. He couldn't even go get baptized. You had to get baptized in that dispensation, right? You had to believe Jesus was Messiah. He did. But he couldn't go get baptized. Christ shows him grace. That's us. We should be on a cross. Who's Christ dying for? Us. Our sins. That's when you get saved, not just knowing, you know, looking at the... like my uncle told me, hopefully he won't hear it, whatever, I won't mention his name, but he goes, I just feel the most spiritual in a Catholic church. I look at the windows, and I look at Statue of Mary, and, you know, you got the incense. It's all made for the flesh. You know, religion's all made for the flesh. But they look at it, he looks at the crucifix. But see, you ain't saved by knowing Christ died. What saves you, that's when you realize he did it for me. Amen. That Christ loved me and gave his life for me. That moment, God identifies you with his death, burial, and resurrection. You're not only forgiven, declared righteous, you get all the benefits now. He died for everyone, but everybody's not saved. What is salvation? We are reconciled by his death. We shall be saved by his life. It's now I receive Christ in me, spiritual life. That's salvation, eternal spiritual life. And so we see that Christ reveals the Father's mind, his heart and love. Yet it's through the Apostle Paul, Christ reveals the fullness of God's grace and his purpose in grace. I got 4 points, and I should do very good today. Say a lot of praying will help you. I think I'll be right on time. Point one, and then we're going to go to verses. We are saved by grace. We'll go to a verse in a minute. Point two, we're kept by grace. That's why it's eternal life. Point three, we're taught by grace. And point four, we're motivated and empowered by grace. And then I'm going to give you my conclusion to the question I asked. What is grace? So let's go to Ephesians 2:8-9. I think everyone pretty much, if you know about grace, you know this verse. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. You know that have been? In the Greek, in the language, I won't get all complicated about it because I don't remember all the words anyway, the complicated words. It means it happened in a point in time with continuing results. That means the moment you trusted in Christ, you were saved eternally, continuing results. Well, how was it done? Was it when I committed my life to the Lord? Because I can't stand to hear that. I committed my life to the Lord. What do you commit? Those in the flesh cannot please God, right? So you're going to commit your flesh? I'm going to perform in my flesh? No, you don't give God anything. You receive. He gives all the giving through what Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. So it says, for by grace, unmerited favor, you have been saved through faith. See, it's by God's grace we were saved. What's the instrument to receive it? Faith. What is faith? Dependence, trust. And then not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. See, God's a giver. Because of the cross, before that, God couldn't give eternal life. But because of Christ, he purchased our redemption, right? Now God can bless you with every spiritual blessing. You lack nothing. You're not second class. In a moment, we'll see how we're kept. You know, you hear that teaching? You get your trust in Jesus. Now seek for the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. You got everything the moment you bleed. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. So that throws that out. How they do it. Snap. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. So you're saved by grace through faith, not any works. You're not saved by what you can do. God won't allow it because you'll take the glory. And I'll take the glory. Say, look at me. Ain't I good? You know? Nobody can boast before God. So we're saved by grace. We're kept by grace. Ephesians 1:13-14. That's the verse I was talking about. In him, you also trusted. So what did you have to do? Just know about it? You had to trust. After you heard the word of truth, Let me ask some real quick. That wasn't part of my lesson, but I always like to leave it open wherever the Holy Spirit wants to go. How many of you pray for people in your family? Hopefully everybody should have their hand up. Or come talk to me afterwards. We'll have a little discussion. Do you know they're not going to get saved? I'm getting convicted here right now. So, you know, usually, remember when you got one finger pointing out, you got three pointing back at you? They're not going to get saved unless they hear the gospel. Then they got to choose to trust. And ain't it hard for people you care about? You know, people you don't know, you could just share. But people, your close friends, like my aunt, she's in the hospital. I start sharing with her. My voice is all shaking. I'm like, why is this so hard? And I was telling her, I love you. That's why I want to share with you, you know. She goes, oh, I pray every day. I says, we have to realize Christ died for us. We're all sinners. And I said, all of us lied. Because I know she's lied at times. So you throw a little bit something out there that she might relate to. And so the only way that they're going to get saved, and it's not guaranteed, but we need to pray, but we need to share. Not hit them over the head. You know, the Bible ain't a club, it's a sword. Let's poke them with it sometimes. You know? It kind of makes them a little uncomfortable, you know? It don't tickle you. It convicts your heart, you know? So we need to pray and we need to share. That's why we got to pray for boldness, don't we? Yeah. I was thinking at the conference, it was so wonderful. I was only able to go 2 days, but what a blessing and encouragement. And I'm like, Lord, give me boldness. Fill my heart with the most important thing is reaching out to people and to keep the message pure. We need young people to take it. Because if we all start getting all our eyes and everything else is all important, you know what happens? Just like in Asia, Paul said, all those in Asia deserted me. What happened to grace? After Paul, it started diminishing, then there was the dark ages because people didn't hold on, they didn't stand. It's easier just to go along with everybody, right? Everybody will like me. I like everybody like me. Ain't it wonderful? Right? That's why we need God's heart of grace. We need to see His. And we need the Holy Spirit to give us, Paul said, pray for me for boldness. I might open my mouth. And young people, see, I said I'm in between. I'm 55. I ain't young. I ain't old. But the rest of my days, I want to serving God and leaving something behind, touching people's lives. And young people, in a game, life. The most important thing you can do is to stand for God's grace, to stand for the gospel, and don't let it get watered down, because so it goes on. Like the one pastor was talking about, handing the torch. You know? And we need to stay focused so our kids and our grandkids will know it and see the importance of it. You know, Major Ian Thomas, who was very effective in Bob George's ministry, he was on a plane with this young kid, talking to him, and he shared the gospel with him. And the kid wrote him years later. He was going to become a pastor, and he said, you know what I remember about you? You had a joy. There's something about you. You had a joy, and I wanted it. That's walking in spirit. It wasn't so much him preaching at him. He saw that. And then somebody else shared. See, one plants a seed, another waters, but God gives it life. And so, we see in him, in verse 13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel, the good news of your salvation, in whom having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. When did that happen? When you waited like Pentecost for the Holy Spirit to come and give you the Holy Spirit with evidence speaking in tongues? With the evidence, the sign of speaking in tongues? No. The moment you believe. Scripture, and when you know it, you rightly divide it and grasp it, depend on the Holy Spirit. It turns the light on, you hear stuff, and your antenna goes up. Air, air, You know, you won't get tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. There's a lot of stuff coming in the church. I'm like Paul, I'm glad. I'm in good company. They said his speech was contemptible. So it's mine. I don't got a good vocabulary. I'm just available. But the idea is taking a verse and repeating it over and over and over. It's Hindu meditation. It's coming in the church. It's like, just get quiet before God and God's going to speak to you. See? How do you know that's God speaking? You know His voice? You know His voice. He speaks through the Word. And so, the moment you believe, you were sealed. Your heart's sealed. Satan can't take that eternal life, the life of Christ in your way. You can't get rid of it. Thank God. Right? I blow it, man. Every day I blow it. See, grace ain't living perfect. You don't become sinless. But you know, as you grow, you start becoming sinning less. Because God is working in you. And so what He began in you, He's going to finish it. It's God who works in you both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. He works in your will. He allowed your free will. But He works in it. And He does it through us. But that comes in growth, and God takes His time. We kind of want people right away. You know, come on. Get it together. That's legalism. Show me. You know. Grace is, I urge you. God demands. Grace, I urge you. And so it says, then how long are you sealed? Who is the guarantee, in verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory? The rapture. Let's talk about the rapture. He's coming back for us. You're saved then, and then you ain't even going to have a sinful nature. You have eternal life now. You don't get it when you get to heaven. We just take the life we have and go to be with the One who is our life, Christ. So we're saved by grace, we're kept by grace, then go to Titus 2, 11 through 14. Again, we're saved by grace, we're kept by grace, and we're taught by grace. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Let's just stop there. When did it appear? Was it when Christ was born? As He taught in the synagogue? You know when I believe that is? On the road to Damascus. Christ appeared to Paul, and He gave him a commission. And the dispensation of grace started then. Paul was the first person in the body of Christ. It says he was saved as a pattern for those who after would believe. It's not at Pentecost the church began. Satan just loves that. Get back to Pentecost. And I was in Pentecost for 8 years, so I love Pentecostal people and charismatics. Sometimes they get mad at me because you share truth with them. And see, your identity is going to control you. We do what we do because of who we are. And when you get identified with, say, my power is speaking in tongues. That's my identity. Well, when someone tries to share with you, you're trying to steal my identity. I'm going to punch you. I've had them get real mad at me. And, you know, I just try and discuss. Yeah. And if your identity, I'm a Catholic. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Pentecostal. How about I'm a Mid-Acts dispensationalist? That ain't my identity. That's what I believe. That's what I think's true. That the body of Christ started there, but that's not my identity. You know what my identity is? I'm a child of God, a member of the body of Christ. That's who I am. So that's my motivation for acting in a certain way. It starts inward, and God expresses it outward. And so, I believe that's what that means. Appeared to men. That's when Christ appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus and gave him his commission. But that grace does something. In verse 12, it teaches us. Did you know grace teaches you? Like I said, if grace haven't grasped your heart, you ain't grasped grace. you got a lot of head knowledge. You know about some right division, a lot of facts. But grace needs to get in our heart. And then you know what it'll do? It'll get into our feet. You know, every single one here, I think this church should grow. Because the pastor has put in years of work, seeds, cultivating. But unless we apply what he's teaching to the Holy Spirit using him, everyone in your life, when you go out of here, it don't just stop here. See, people want the pastor to be the big gun. Oh, I'll bring him to church and he'll lead them to the Lord. The main function, I think, of the pastor is to teach and to build up the body. Now we go out in our lives. We reach them and then we invite them to church. So, it teaches us something. That denying ungodliness. See, what do they say? Watch your grace. Because people just go sin. That's not what God's Word says. Grace will teach you to deny, say no to ungodliness and worldly lust. So it teaches us to say no. Why? Paul said, all things are available. It's lawful for me. God's not going to get me. He's not going to punish me. Then why don't I go do it? He said, because he didn't want to become a slave to anything. He wanted to be free. Not all things edify. Certain things in our life, they don't edify us. They're not good for our testimony. I've been convicted in certain areas in my life lately that, Lord, just take every compartment of my life and you just occupy that. You know? I can't deal with that song, I surrender all. I surrender all. Because I know I haven't. There's places in our life, little areas sometimes, we're like thinking about, and we ain't gave them up, you know, to God. So I can't sing that song. And I don't think, while we're still in this body, before we get a new body, there's areas that God's, thank God he don't show us it all at once what he wants to do. I think we'd have a heart attack, you know. But thank God it's him that's doing it, you know. So it teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Looking for the blessed hope. Here's the rapture. So we live as if Christ come back today, but we plan as if he ain't coming for years. The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, they say Jesus ain't a God, he was just a man. Sorry, God and Savior. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, and purify. See, God wants to purify. He purified us inwardly. Now he's trying to deal with them things in our life that shouldn't be there. And for what? For his own special people, zealous for good works. Grace makes you zealous. I want to serve God. I wake up every day. That's what should be our thing. Here I am, Lord. I ain't much. Use me. I felt like a pit bull ready to be unleashed today. I love preaching. I love teaching. I was a pastor 2 years. I didn't take a penny. And that is biblical to have to take care of the pastor. But I didn't do it for the money. I did it because I love being used of God. Don't you love it? God uses you to touch somebody's life for eternity or to comfort them, to build them up. And when people see it, when we're growing together and we realize we're all members of the same body. We're part of each other. You know, God likes color. Black, white, brown, yellow. And people look at that. Because I tell people in my church, we got black, white, brown, yellow. That's what grace does. It gets beyond everything outward. There's male and female. Black, white, brown, yellow. Child, adult. Grace brings us all together. And when the world sees the love, that's why don't let bitterness and unforgiveness come in. Then they don't see it. And so grace, what? It teaches us some. And my last is, again, we are saved by grace, we are kept by grace, we are taught by grace, and we're motivated and empowered by grace. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. And that's where I'll be ending in. this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul's saying a prayer for this church, and it would be to us too, for us. From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. So grace, what? Your inner man, His Spirit in you, expressing itself out of you, empowering us, teaching us we can do all things through Christ. You facing anything today? You know in your heart, we're all going through something, and you don't. I'm not going to ask people to raise their hand. Whatever you're facing, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We ain't got no excuses. Ain't that convicting? But you don't know my circumstances. Eh? Oh, you don't know the way I was brought up. Psychobabble. You know, I was molested. My mom and dad was divorced. I grew up in a bad neighborhood. I was poor. And then all the guy goes, I was rich, and it was a messed up life. I can do all things. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's growing in grace, learning that. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. You know what that word dwell means? Live comfortably. That's why I was saying, God, in every room and every compartment in my life, let Christ dwell comfortably. Let's invite Him in. I mean, He's in there, but let's invite Him in them rooms. If you're a believer, Christ is in you. That God may dwell in you, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you be being rooted and grounded in love. Remember, grace is an extension of God's unconditional love. If you don't understand grace, you're not going to understand how He loves you unconditionally. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints. So what does Paul, the Holy Spirit through Paul, want us to comprehend something? What is the width and the length and the depth and the height? Now, in Stan's book, Things That Differ, he had this as, and I think one of two ways you can interpret this, because in the beginning of the chapter, he's talking about the mystery. And Stan kind of said, to understand the height, the depth, the width and length of the mystery, to know all that. And I can see that. But also, what I see here, the height, the depth, the width and length of the love of God, because the context too. So I think it's both. Because you're not going to understand God's unconditional love without understanding the mystery, the dispensation of grace that we live in. And so, and what happens when you're understanding the height, the depth, the width and the length of God's love? To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Can you be filled with all the fullness of God and not be filled with the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit God? So being filled with the Holy Spirit is what? Understanding grace, understanding God's love, and then what happens? Fills means whatever you're dependent on will control you. Don't be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. We don't get more of the Spirit. He just gets more of us. So as we're understanding God's love, as we're understanding His grace, what happens? The Holy Spirit starts controlling us, not against our will, with joy produced. Now to Him, you know, it's wonderful that it didn't stop there, because then we think we'd have to do this thing, right? Look at this. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly. Don't you love that? It's not who's able to do a little something for you, a little something. Exceedingly, abundantly. Look at the words. It's growing and growing, right? Above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God can do more in us. You can't even imagine. As you grow in His grace and His love, and you take it and apply what, where we go to, Paul's epistles, we apply that. Yeah. We can't imagine what God can do through us that has eternal value. And if you notice, that power, what's that power? The life of Christ in you. The Holy Spirit producing the life of Christ. dunamis, I believe that word is probably their power. That's where we get the word dynamite from, I believe. I didn't look this up, but I could be wrong, but there's power, you know, as dispensationalists, sometimes I think we could almost play down the Holy Spirit, because it's been on the other side, the charismatic of Pentecost sort of abused it, and they focus more on the Holy Spirit sometimes than Christ. You know, and where the Holy Spirit, when He comes, He's going to lift up, glorify Christ, right? But He's the one who produces the power in us. And it's only by grace. Walk in the Spirit, and what? You won't fulfill lust of the flesh. So, we're closing up. I think because we didn't get started, so I think I'm all right. But you know what my last thing is? Remember I start out with, what is grace? Grace is all we have in Christ. And that's why you study. You got a present, a gift of salvation. It was a gift. Now you open up the box and you find out what's in there. Forgiveness, redemption, life, spiritual life. Reconciliation, empowerment. So, grace is all we have in Christ. And again, that acronym, God's riches, bless you with every spiritual blessing, at Christ's expense. So, I'm going to close in prayer. And if there's somebody, I don't know people's hearts here, have you ever truly trusted in Christ, or do you just know about things? Or on the internet, or wherever this might be heard, I'm going to pray, and you don't got to stand up, you don't got to walk an aisle, you don't got to change churches. All it is trusting in Christ. But it's an act of our will. Christ did everything, but God's not a gangster, He don't force us. Make this the day of your second birth. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, oh Lord, may we not just know, like a book, we read it just to pass a test, facts. But Lord, fill our hearts with the desire, as a deer pants for water, that we desire you, Lord, to know you. Not just know about you, we got to know them things, but to know you, Lord. To know what we have in you, that we might grow in our relationship. And I thank you, Lord, that it's all by your grace, that you're the one who produces in us as we just focus on your Son and as we walk in your grace. Thank you, Lord. And I pray, Father, for boldness for all of us and courage, and that both of them things would be filled with your love to reach out to people, that are on their way to hell. If you come back today, they would go through the tribulation, which is a time that's going to be so terrible, God. So I pray you fill our hearts with wisdom to be able to reach out to people and to know when to speak and when not to push. And just use us, Lord. And I pray if there's one, Lord, within the sound of my voice, maybe they've been religious or moral, but they've never trusted in Christ completely, that they haven't been saved by grace through faith. They tried to be saved by works. You said it's not by works. I pray, Father, right now that in their heart they would just say, God, I am a sinner. I sin. You said there's none righteous, no, not one. But Christ died for sinners, and I'm going to trust in you now. And Lord, in that moment, your Holy Spirit will come in and dwell them with eternal life. And we just thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. So thank you for listening so well. Don't want me to take it home, right?
There you go.